All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all of those. And just a quick announcement before we get started. Susan has informed me that as you go out the double doors on the pedestals to your right and left, ladies only, there's a rose for you all. So be sure to pick one out and... there's multiple colors, so you should have a good opportunity to get your favorite color. So, Susan, thank you. All right. Okay, let's start our class with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are gathered this morning as a collective body of true believers. We take this time to recognize and honor you as our Father, your majesty, your compassion. And we are very thankful, Father, for that love, for that steadfastness on our behalf. We're mindful of the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Father, and mindful of those blessings to come. We are thankful. We are truly aware of that which you have given us, both for our material comfort, especially for our spiritual nutrition, and Father, for that one and only sacrifice that was given on our behalf, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Father, we ask that you'll bless this church, that you'll bless its growth, that you oversee the leadership, that we may move forward in a direction that's acceptable and pleasing to you. That this church will become a unified body of believers that exudes the love and the compassion reflective of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That you'll bless our classes, that the teaching that is presented to those who are listening will fulfill and develop their spiritual maturity, that their hearts and their minds and their souls will be open and receptive to the teachings in class and to the message that is given through the pulpit. Thank you, Father, for all of these benefits and these privileges. This avenue of prayer, which we can go to you with our petitions, the opportunity we have to say thank you. Be with us through this Lord's Day. And a special prayer and hand upon those mothers who have sacrificed, who have provided, who have taught all of their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to be the influence of a spiritual mother, a spiritual woman, a spiritual sister, an aunt. We're very thankful. And ask this morning that you have and extend to them a particular blessing on their behalf. Be with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Y'all might be looking at that picture and going, what does doing sit-ups have to do with a class in prayer? And from my way of thinking, it probably deserves a little explanation. But prayer is something that does not happen. It's something that we have to develop. It's something that we have to work into. It's a habit, just like anything else, that we have to nurture, massage, and grow. Just like an athlete. You don't see these athletes going out there and just getting in the starter block for a 100-yard dash and getting a under 10-second run for 100 yards. They have to sacrifice. They have to condition their bodies. They have to practice and train daily. And that's what we need to do with our prayer life. And so this picture, I hope, is an encouragement. No matter how old we are, there's still room for improvement. And it doesn't hurt that we're always trying to condition and stay in condition. The last thing we want to do is get complacent and get into a position of thought or mindset where we've made it. Now we're just here, you know, along for the ride. So that's why doing push-ups, I hope, is an encouragement for us. Now, don't ask me to do one. I'll have to put a pillow under my chin because I don't know if I could get there too many times. So in pursuing our classes on prayer, we're going to discuss Ephesians 1, chapter 1, 15 through 23. So if you guys want to turn your Bibles there, we'll be referring to that particular selection. And this is in regards to the power and the glory of Christ over the church. And why is that important when it comes to prayer? And we'll hit on those points as we go through. But what I really wanted to emphasize is that this is Paul's prayer during his Roman imprisonment. And it's another example for us on the attitude we need to have, not just during the good times, but the times in which we're being challenged. Whether it's a little challenge or a big challenge. We all are going to be challenged. We all have faced challenges. And for the most part, we can anticipate facing challenges even in the future. So this is our way of getting encouragement. This is how we go to the Bible to get the appropriate scriptures to guide us through whatever situation we may be dealing with. And so the encouragement here is that when Paul's writing this, he's not just thinking about himself, but he's thinking about other Christians. He's thinking about other Christians who need more encouragement than he does. Here he is in prison. Probably not the best of living conditions. And yet what's on his mind is how I can minister to other brothers and sisters in Christ. And how I can be an encouragement through my suffering to them. So that's what we're going to talk about. So in this introduction, Paul writes from a Roman prison, Acts 28, 16 and 30 through 31. His focus is on spiritual blessings in Christ. Paul's prayer for insight and knowledge of God. And then one of the big points is prayer is not just for needs. It allows us to know our God more intimately. Referring back to that picture of the push-ups. The more we're conditioned, the more we have our body in preparation and going to the scriptures to get spiritually conditioned in our prayer life. One, the more we get to know God through scripture. Two, we become more comfortable talking to him in our prayer life. And three, we look forward to talking to him more often in our prayer life as well. So that's the goal. I'll have to ask for forgiveness. I'm trying to self-teach myself how to do better in PowerPoints. And so it looked a lot bigger on the screen on my computer. So I apologize for this being a little less large than what I had anticipated. So I'm going to read from the Bible, and you guys are welcome to follow along. So we're going to Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. It says, "Therefore I said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? In the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay. So what we see here is Paul recognizing the faith of this body of believers. Is that something we need to strive for as a church? How would you like, or how would you prefer the rest of our community, not just Glenpool or Jinx, but outside that little radius, how would you like our church to be thought of? Just another Church of Christ, a body of believers in a different neighborhood? Or we want to be really known significantly for something a little deeper? I think we would like to be known for something a little bit deeper, whether it's for our mission work, our evangelism, our outreaches, maybe just the strength of the message that's given from the pulpit, or perhaps being recognized as one of those churches that has such a well-established, strong body of praying believers. I think we would like to be known more than just another body of Church of Christers on the corner. Larry? And what better note of notoriety than in our own backyard? That they know that they can come to our church. Everybody has outstretched arms to welcome them in. No judgment. You know, I mean, it just come on in. Hear the message. If we can help, we can. If we can help in other areas, you know, we can. That there's got to be something refreshing and encouraging knowing that the Church of Christ in Glenpool and Jinx is a church of loving individuals. Faithful. Faithful, yeah. Yeah. What a wonderful moniker. You know, we have all these little bumper sticker claims and stuff like this, but it doesn't mean anything if we're not walking the walk. It's easy to, I hate to use the phrase talk the talk, but there's a lot out there. It's not just the Church of Christ. So when we see this introduction, it says, therefore I said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, Glenpool, Church of Christ. How wonderful would that be? So Maybe that's something we need to strive for. It's going to take some work and stuff. But I think with prayer and exuding that kind of attitude and stuff, I don't think it's a hard walk. Because we're already aware of the generosity of this congregation and the strength we have when it comes to true believers. So maybe that's for another class. But the power and the glory of Christ over the church, we see Paul's positive attitude and just this brotherly approach in what he's writing here. And as he's writing to the saints in Ephesus during his imprisonment, could he just as easily wrote a woe is me? Oh, to the brothers and sisters of Ephesus. I'm just feeling terrible. I'm really having a rough day. I've struggled and struggled on your behalf, and man, I need you guys' help. Y'all need to pray for me. Send me some refreshments. No, no. Well, and I think we see from Paul's work and his faith, we know he wasn't going to do that either. He knew how to show strength through his struggle. And that's what we see here, to the point to where he is more concerned with these individuals. And what was that struggle Paul had, you know, as he was ending his life, coming to the end of his life? What was that earthly struggle he had? He longed and desired to be in heaven with Jesus. But on the flip side, he was like, gosh, I've got so much more to do here. There's so much work. He said, I look around and it's a target-rich environment, you know? And he had that struggle. Yeah. And so we can see how this is true representative of Paul in his outlook when he looks to his brothers and the lost. So faith and love in the church. Paul commends their faith and love. In Galatians 5:6, faith working through love. James 2:17, faith, if it does not have works, it's dead. So can you just sit on the couch and go, man, I love these people? No. What was David's reaction after he got forgiven? After he received forgiveness from God? What did he say? Don't just be idle. Get out there and share the blessing. Share the story. Reach out there and start teaching. What better teacher than one who's just come through what he's experienced and been forgiven? That's like us. Our love and our faith ought to be the encouragement and the strength for us to get out there to spread the seed, to spread the gospel, to do what we can. And if we're not comfortable doing that, there's other areas and talents and stuff that we can work behind the scenes to see that this is done. Verse 17, and this is about Paul, and it's kind of 15 through 17, but it's Paul's thanksgiving and prayer. Prayer for knowledge. Wisdom and revelation through the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Acts 17:11, and Ephesians 3:3-5. Not new revelations, but deeper understanding. Who helps us with that walk on earth? Huh? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. Can we get that kind of knowledge and maturity by having this book in the back seat of the car? On the bookshelf? Under our pillow when we go to sleep at night? No. We got to crack the book and bend the pages. And that's why the picture of the guy doing the push-ups. If we're not in the scripture daily, then we're struggling to develop that intimate relationship with our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's what it's all about. So when we pray for knowledge, we're praying that what we read in Scripture, what we take an account of as we're growing mature in our spiritual maturity, that becomes spiritual knowledge, spiritual growth, a spiritual understanding of what we're reading, so that that taproot of Christianity goes deeper and deeper and deeper, instead of like some ornamental trees that just have roots on the surface. And the first big controversy, or the first big challenge in our lives hits us, and everything's uprooted, and the first thing we say is, why did God do this to me? True faith, true belief in what the scripture is, when that challenge hits us, that gives us the strength to square up to it, as it says, to face the evil one, to take it head on. Because at this point, we are well grounded in our faith. We are well grounded in our prayer life. And for those young ones who are developing, coming off the milk and starting to develop the maturity, that's where we come in. We can supply and provide strength, support, encouragement, scripture references on where they can go when it comes to Paul or David, James, Matthew, Mark, and their examples and how they got through those struggles as well. So wisdom and revelation through scripture. You're not going to get it by turning on the radio. You're not going to get it by some TV evangelism program. You've got to crack the book, turn those pages yourself. How do we grow in wisdom today? By studying, right? And maybe taking the initiative to step out there, if we have that ability, to study with somebody else. Or if we have that ability to volunteer to be a teacher in a class. There's no other way, no better way to encourage you getting into scriptures when you've committed yourself to be teaching a class. And I tell you, if you do that and you're studying, you have to be careful, because you can start going down rabbit holes that'll take you in 17 different directions. Good ones. It's that part of developing and expanding your biblical knowledge. So study. The whole reason for this class is to develop and mature and to grow our prayer life. To express to you the need to have that desire to talk to our God in prayer. And in the practice. Oh, this has been, 20 years ago. I was in a class. And during that week, before we met the next time, he asked us to just jot down all of the hours that we were just watching TV. That was it. TV, nothing else. And we had to have an answer for him the next Sunday in class. He said, of all of those hours, how many of you can dedicate 15 minutes a day to reading your Bible? He wasn't asking for an hour, 2 hours, just 15 minutes. There was a study once, and I don't have it with me, but it's about that same time. A guy calculated the number of either weeks or years in our lifetime that we just sit at a stoplight, just waiting for the light to turn a different color. It was amazing. So for us to say we are too busy, now, I always said when you point a finger, you got three coming back. So I got three coming back. Is it that hard? Is there any reason we can't dedicate 15 minutes a day to reading our Bible? I guarantee you, if you start doing that after a couple of 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to end up in a story somewhere in here that 15 minutes just isn't enough. And you're either going to finish it and it's going to be 30 or 45 minutes, or you can't wait till you get to it the next opportunity. That's the cool thing about reading our Bible. Now, there's some dry things in there. You go through all the lineages. Take me 3 hours just to learn how to pronounce some of the names. You know? But that's part of it. That's the give and take. But man, some of the stories in here, mysteries, mayhem, murder, romance, it's all in there. And it can be very exciting as well. So, verse 18, the hope of his calling. The enlightened understanding of the scripture. The hope, the eternal life. Called by the gospel. This internal understanding leads to our salvation. The more we know about this, the more we have it in our hearts, the more we are as close to Christ-like as we can get based on our human nature, the greater our success in having a home in heaven. That in itself should be an inspiration for us to go out and reach out to the world, to the lost. As Paul, he knew what the consequences were going to be if you didn't become a true believer. His desire was as much God-like that he didn't want people to be lost. And especially the believers that have been baptized into the church at that time. Because they were being confronted from all sides with all kinds of false teachings and all kinds of other earthly desires that would draw them away. We see that the Jews were having trouble making that transition from their belief into what Christ wanted them to follow without trying to bring in some of their traditions. They just were having trouble letting those go. And Paul's desire was to bring them to a proper understanding. Likewise today, our hearts should be heavy with the idea that there are so many people out in this world, so many people just in our own backyard that are being led astray by false teachings or have no teachings whatsoever. So our outreach, our ability to take an opportunity when it presents itself to teach and to reach out and to let them know who the true our true God is and the way we believe. The eyes of our understanding, again, the spiritual understanding, it's more than just reading a textbook. It's something that we feel and grows inside of us. It's something that we see a noticeable change in our attitude, in the way we present ourselves, both here amongst our believers and when we're out into the world. The confidence that we have that is developed through our faith and prayer. Second Thessalonians 2:14 says, he called you by your gospel. And Titus 1:2 says, hope of eternal life with God promised before time began. All Christians have in common what? What do we all have in common? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we have true hope. Not emotional hope. Not a hope that is expressed to us through all kinds of trickery and stuff like that. That is just superficial. But true hope that has a taproot that goes all the way down to our very soul. That is unshakable. And that is strengthened through our belief in our faith. God's glorious inheritance, verse 18. The riches of his inheritance in the saints. That's an inheritance we should be proud of. That's an inheritance that we should be more than willing to share with the world. The church is God's inheritance. Deuteronomy 32:9 and 1 Peter 2:9. A people of God's own possession. We are a people of God, not of the world. And because of that, we walk different, we talk different, we live different, we believe different. And the Bible states that we are a different people. We are a light to be noticed. We are a light to shine on the path for those who are lost to find their way. And if we're truly a congregation and individuals made of this understanding, that is going to be reflective in our everyday walk amongst those in the world. Our everyday walk amongst those brothers and sisters that we encounter all the time. We're going to be more compassionate. We're going to be more loving. More genuine. And that genuine is reflected as simple as when you see somebody in the hallway and say, how is your day? How you been feeling? How are you doing? And you're not just checking the box. That if somebody leans over and goes, well, you know, you don't take that opportunity to go over here and talk to somebody else. Okay, you may be a few minutes late to class, but you stand there and you listen. Because that individual has taken the opportunity to take you up on what you were asking. You don't blow them off. That's the attitude that's reflective of our strength in our understanding of Christ's love for us. We should be the same for our brothers and sisters. And if we're doing that within ourselves, amongst ourselves, then our neighborhood, then the people of our backyard are going to know, as Larry was suggesting, the Glenpool Church of Christ is one of those churches who truly walk and talk what they believe. They are a living church. They are a church with their doors truly are open to everyone. They are a church, a congregation where you come in regardless of how you look, how you smell, how you walk or talk. They will welcome you in. And whatever your needs, spiritually or if they can help physically, they will help to take care of you. You are more than just a stranger who has come in to look at their building. If we all have that combined attitude and feeling for our community, that will spread faster than any wildfire we've ever seen or witnessed on TV. And that's what we should exude. We shouldn't have to work for it. It should just be natural. It should be just something that as we develop spiritually, mature, and grow, it's kind of like catching poison ivy. You just brush up to it and somebody's going to notice. That's where we need to strive. That's where we need to try to excel. I know it sounds like a lot, but honestly, it's not that hard. 15 minutes a day, just read our Bible. And I guarantee 15 minutes a day will turn into half an hour, maybe even longer. And it won't be something you have to plan. It'll be something you look forward to. That's why we pray. The greatness of his power, verse 19. The same power that raised Christ empowers us spiritually. God hasn't changed. Just because he raised our Lord and Savior from the dead, he didn't go, "That's it, boys. I'm just here for the show now." He's on our side forever, till the end. And now it's not just God, but it's his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he didn't just rescind him and raise him from the dead, but he put him in and gave him position. And that means a lot. Because when he said, "You are going to sit on my right-hand side," that's a big deal. That is God saying, "This is my Son, your Lord and Savior, whom I not only am well pleased, but I approve of. And I'm not done yet, because I'm giving him power and authority till he comes again." What better confidence should we have when it comes to that belief and that understanding? We're already on the winning team. So the greatness of his power was something that the disciples were able to witness firsthand. Wasn't just a story, but it was something that human beings were able to witness. The power equals resurrection, salvation, endurance. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. What do we call this? The what? The sword. For a reason. Now that doesn't mean we take this around, we go slapping everybody with it. That would just be rude. But when it comes to our spiritual growth, our spiritual endurance, our spiritual capabilities of squaring up and facing our trials, our temptations, the minions and the devil himself, man, what a victory to be able to say, "Satan, get behind me." Or to come to that crossroads when we have to decide between right and wrong, without hesitation, we go, "Woohoo, not me. This is a bad deal." And having the foresight of knowing what situations are bad so we don't put ourselves in that crosshairs to begin with. The sins of the flesh are so desirable and so powerful that they can cause us to stumble, even the best of us. So we have to be ready. So strength in knowing that our God is so powerful that he defeated death. He put his one and only Son on his right side and gives us that hope. That is an encouragement to us. Living by God's power. How should God's power affect us? In every way. Yeah. We shouldn't have some kind of attitude like some little snotty-nosed adolescent who is spoiled and feels he's entitled to everything. That's not the attitude we need to have. God's power should affect us so that we are one submissive to his teachings. That we are humble in the way we approach him in prayer. That we do everything that we humanly, physically can to be reflective of the love and the compassion that he extended to us and that we witness through his son, Jesus Christ, when his walk on earth. Now, does that mean we need to be weak? Because the world, looking at our humility, looking at our meekness, looks at us as being frail and weak. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So we need to be confident in knowing God's power, how it affects us. It gives us stability to overcome sin, to serve boldly, and to exude that confidence. When you walk into a room and you see somebody that's got their head down, that's not looking at anybody, that's kind of slumped and just not sure of themselves, you can kind of tell that person's not real confident about a whole lot of things. But you see somebody that enters a room, his shoulders are square, his chest is out, his head is held high, he is physically looking around, taking in his environment, his awareness, the way he talks, presenting himself. Sometimes you can just feel it, the confidence in that individual. That's the way we need to present ourselves to the world. Christ's exaltation, verse 20. Raised and seated at God's right hand. We kind of touched that on already. Jesus now reigns at God's right hand, a position of authority. That's where we get our confidence. We're on the right team, folks. We chose well. Acts 22, 33 through 36. God has made him both Lord and Christ. Psalms 110, 1. Sit at my right hand. Hebrews 1, 13. He sat down at the right hand of God. Christ accepted that offer, that invitation. We've got the power on our side. Christ's authority, verse 21, for above all rule and power, Christ is far above anything and everything, not only of this world, but of the entire universe. There is nothing that we can comprehend in our mind that Christ isn't over. Christ doesn't have authority of. Christ the head, Christ head of the church. We see that in Colossians, Ephesians, and Matthew. The church as his body, we are the fulfillment of Christ and headship and body of life. What is Christ's hardship of vital? Unity. How does the body imaginary shape our services, shape our service? Through unity, care, humility. So grow in the knowledge, value the church, submit to Christ's rule, and trust God's power. Next week we talk about Jesus in Gethsemane. Thank you all very much.